Hallo und herzlich willkommen beim Podcast Happiness at Work. Dein Podcast für mehr Leichtigkeit und Lebensfreude im Business und privat. Ich bin Anja Maria Stieber und ich freue mich, dass du wieder dabei bist. Denn ich teile mit dir Informationen und Interviews mit genialen Menschen, damit auch du deinen Weg zu mehr Leichtigkeit und Lebensfreude findest und endlich das machst, was zu dir passt und dir so richtig Spaß macht. Im Zeitalter der Digitalisierung, Generation Y und ansteigendem Bewusstsein in unserer Gesellschaft und weltweit ist es mir ein Anliegen, eine Brücke zu schlagen zwischen Spiritualität, Wissenschaft und Wirtschaft. Ich wünsche dir viel Spaß bei der neuen Folge von Happiness at Work.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen. Ich habe heute einen ganz besonderen Gast hier. Es ist Alex Lloyd aus den USA, der Begründer des Healing Codes. Vielleicht kennt ihr alle dieses Buch, der Healing Code. Vielleicht kennt ihr mittlerweile auch die Methode. Der Healing Code ist ein Code, mit dem man innerhalb von 6 Minuten die inneren Heilkräfte aktivieren kann und so zur Heilung kommen kann. Alex hat mittlerweile eine ganze Reihe von anderen Büchern geschrieben, zum Beispiel das Love Principle, ich habe es mir hier aufgeschrieben, der Weg zur Liebe und Wahrheit. Und es kommen auch ein paar neue Bücher raus. Und es wird total spannend, weil da geht es um das Re-Engineering von Erinnerungen. Es geht darum, einen inneren Heilprozess zu aktivieren und es geht um etwas, was Alex die Trilogie nennt. Also es wird sehr, sehr, sehr spannend und ich bin mal gespannt, was ich Alex so an Informationen entlocken kann. Wir haben auch eine Veranstaltung geplant am 2. und 3. November diesen Jahres, Alex und ich zusammen. Und ich werde im Anschluss des Interviews noch ein bisschen mehr dazu sagen. Veranstalter dieser 2 Tage sind Adolf und Inge Schneider vom Jupiter Verlag aus der Schweiz. So. Dear Alex, I am so happy that you found time to have an interview with me about the Healing Code, about your life, about how you came about finding this Healing Code, because it's an extraordinary story. And I'm very, very excited to find out more about your new methods. We briefly talked about memory engineering, the re-engineering of memory, the memory code, inner healing, trilogy. There is a whole bunch of new stuff coming from your way, and I'm really, really excited to find out more about it. So welcome and thank you that you're here, Alex.
Well, Anya, it is completely my honor and pleasure. I cannot wait to get there in November. And I'll tell you one reason why. Hope is going to come with me in November, and she does not always come with me. So I'm very excited about that, and seeing the wonderful countryside and meeting the beautiful people, including you and Adolf. I'm very, very honored and excited to be here.
Great. Well, I'm happy that your wife comes along too, because your wife has a lot to do with how you came about finding the Healing Code. You want to tell us the story?
Sure, I'll be happy to. And you're right. I probably would not be sitting here talking with you right now or coming in November if it had not been for her. And to me, that is one illustration of how sometimes bad things, or things that we think are really bad, can be transformed into good things. And we certainly feel like that's happened with us. But shortly after we married, I apologize, let me turn this phone off. Sorry.
No problem.
We were, we both got married thinking our life was going to be happily ever after and all that sort of thing. And In about 2.5 years, Hope wanted a divorce. And I don't know if I wanted a divorce, but I was very unhappy. And Hope kicked me out of the house on a Sunday night. I'll never forget it, Anya. You know, she said, this is a direct quote. She said, "Alex, I need you to leave the house. I cannot stand to live with you another day." And that's pretty powerful language. And and boy, it knocked me sideways. And so I did. I left. And but over a period of time, we visited 3 doctors and found out that Hope was severely depressed, clinically depressed. The doctor said, "She'll be depressed the rest of her life. This is genetic. There's nothing you can do about it." Well, I'm thrilled to say she has not been depressed for 18 years now. And we've been married 33 years now. And so out of something very painful came something very beautiful. But anyway, I went back to graduate school to become a psychologist and a naturopathic doctor, not as a career path, but to try to find a way to for her to be happy, to fix her depression. And I didn't find it there. I met a lot of good people, found a lot of good things, but she was still depressed. And I had been in California for a workshop and was waiting at LAX to come home, and the phone rang, and it was Hope, and she was having a horrible depressive episode, really could not even talk. She was really paralyzed, sitting on the hardwood floor in the corner of the bedroom in her nightgown with a blanket pulled over her head, weeping where she had been all night long. And so I just tried to encourage her, told her I loved her. We were going to find a solution, got on a plane. Plane takes off, and I start praying for her. What happened, it never happened before, and it's never happened since. I had a download. I feel like God gave me something for Hope's depression. And so for 3.5 hours, I took dictation. Got home, and I mean literally dictation. It was like it was written on the wall. Got home, did it on Hope. Her depression was gone in 45 minutes. It came back after 3 weeks of her doing it every day. Her depression was gone and has never come back. And that was 18 years ago now. And on Monday morning, back then, after her depression went away, I took it into my private practice and was having the same thing happen there. Depression going away, anxiety going away, traumas, phobias, things like that. And Anya, I was a happy camper, man. You go in my office and people were crying and laughing and jumping up and down and hugging every day. I mean, things that other psychologists might have happened once or twice every 10 years was happening every day. So I was really happy. But then what happened, I had never expected or imagined. I had a lady come in who had had an anxiety disorder, and her anxiety disorder went away, and I knew that, but she went on to tell me that her MS, her multiple sclerosis, had healed. And I thought it was just a coincidence until she started showing me medical tests, and she'd not done anything else different. And then a few weeks later, it was someone about cancer, and then another disease and another disease. And it was about at that point, several months later, when this kept happening consistently, that I started believing that this was a lot more than just for depression, and started the healing codes from my basement with very little money and no advertising, just because we felt compelled to help as many people as we could. So wow, that's sort of the story.
That is a great story. Now, how did that make you feel? I mean, I'm trying to imagine you find a miracle, and you find a miracle not for yourself or for your loved one, but one that also works for others in such an extraordinary, fast way. How did you feel?
Well, you know, that's interesting, because I was very happy, very excited. Now, that's my nature anyway. But, of course, that was greatly elevated. But the thing that was different, Anya, is I never believed that this came from me.
Mm-hmm.
So I was never patting myself on the back or looking for other people to do that, because I believe then and I believe today that I was given this as a gift. And so it was my responsibility then to help as many other people as I could with this gift. So I felt like I was just so grateful to be given this and to have a part in helping people have happier, healthier lives.
Mm-hmm. Did it also make you feel humble because of the extraordinary powers that we have at hand, God-giving?
It really did. It really did. And that was a lot of actually why me. I mean, I'm no Einstein. I'm no great person who's a genius. Why me? I don't deserve this. There wasn't a whole lot of that. But I did feel a good bit of that. I never had the, oh, aren't I great? I never felt that for a second. I was like, oh, man, I am so fortunate to be able to help people in this
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm. So you started actually teach people using the healing code in your basement.
So well, out of my basement, yeah. And yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. So I guess it was first word of mouth that, of course, people tell about their experiences. I guess it didn't take long for you to have a lot to do with all those people wanting to come to you or coming to you for healing.
Yeah, the thing that was the biggest challenge, Anya, was that the healing codes were so different. I mean, you say acupuncture, everybody knows what you're talking mm-hmm. about, okay? You say, you know, yin and yang, governing and conception vessel. And most everybody in the alternative world knows what you're talking about. And a number of these other things. Well, you say healing code, nobody knows what you're talking about, at least then. So one of the challenging parts was it took me usually about an hour to explain it to someone before they were ready to try it. Mm-hmm. So, and that's really where the book came from. I didn't write the book to be a book. I wrote it to be a training manual for people so I wouldn't have to take an hour with every client before we could start. But that was the most challenging thing. As far as people doing it and getting results, that happened, you know, 9 times out of 10 or more. That wasn't the issue. It was, you know, building that learning curve.
Yes. Well, actually, when I first got involved in the healing code, I thought it was really strange, yeah, to hold your hands and to do it for so many minutes. And it took me quite a while to gain a deeper understanding of what this is all about, also with the prayer you do at first.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the healing code. Let's talk okay. about the hand positions, why you have to hold your hands like this. why you do the prayer. Yeah, how does it all work together for people experiencing their healing?
Right. Well, part of the answer to that is really boring, because the answer to a lot of this is because that's what I saw on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote it down. And that includes the why do you do your fingers and why do you not touch the skin but have them 2 to 3 inches away. So that's the answer to a lot of it. But I did talk with engineers, with biologists, with physicists. And one of the things that several of them told me is that to them, this was sort of the same principle as a spark plug, mm-hmm. where there's a gap. The two pieces of metal don't touch. There's a gap where the energy arcs between the gap, and that's really more powerful than if they were touching. And that's what I was told by physicists and people like that, their opinion about doing this instead of touching. So that's what I believe about that. I can't say I can prove that, but I guess the proof is in the medical test that we did for a year and a half, and that it works virtually every time. So, yeah.
Wasn't it great? I mean, we are both scientists. Wasn't it great to find scientists, or to find scientific answers of how it most likely works rather than just doing it?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you know, as soon as I explain that to someone and they get that mental picture of the spark plug in the mm-hmm. arc, every single time they'll go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Where before they were maybe like, well, it doesn't make any sense that you don't touch. But when they get that picture, it does. So, yeah, that was really nice.
Yes. We know out of traditional Chinese medicine or out of yoga that there is something, energy, coming right. out of our fingertips. Mm-hmm. And that in yoga, you have different positions. You hold your hands to stimulate specific things in your body, in your thinking, or change your energy in your body. So I think that's really, really interesting. So how do you do the positions for the healing?
Yeah, sure. It's very, very simple. You use both hands.
Like this.
Actually not hands, the fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
Pointing at the positions from a couple inches away. Really, you can be as close as you want, just not touching. And it does work if you touch. It just works better if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a physical handicap and you need to touch, go ahead. It'll just take a little bit longer. But then there's four healing centers that we activate with the two hands. The first one is called the bridge.
The bridge.
It's where your eyebrows would grow together if they grew together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's behind that is sort of the pituitary gland, the prefrontal cortex. Mm-hmm. Etc. The second one is the Adam's apple.
Yeah, the Kehlkopf.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And for you ladies, if you can't feel an Adam's apple, it's about halfway to two-thirds of the way up your throat. Just point in that area and you'll mm-hmm. get it. The third one is called the jaw, and it's the back bottom corner of the jawbone, about the size of an American silver dollar, mm-hmm. about that big,
mm-hmm.
right on that back bottom corner. And the fourth one is called the temple. And it's actually mm-hmm. not on the temple. You start at the temple and go about a half an inch up and a half an inch back. But because these are all about this big, if you point at the temple, you'll usually get it.
Mm-hmm.
So a code can be any combination of your two hands and those centers. And it can be one position. Now, that's unusual, but it could be one position, like both hands on the temples, or it could be eight positions, like both hands temples, both hands Adam's apple, left hand jaw, right hand bridge. It can be any number of steps, if you will, and any number of combinations using the two hands, like left hand Adam's apple, right hand bridge, and then you hold that position for a period of time, usually about 20 seconds. So it would be like 20 seconds, 20 seconds, 20 seconds, 20 seconds, and then maybe I'm done. And that's mm-hmm. a code. So that's how you do a code. Now, I forgot to address the prayer thing that you mentioned a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I shouldn't have, because that's a very important thing. There's a couple of things about that just to me personally. First of all, with prayer, I believe you're plugging into the supernatural, not just the natural.
Mm-hmm.
And the supernatural is where miracles happen, okay? So if I can plug into a place where miracles happen, I want to do it, and especially wanted to do it for Hope after she was depressed for 12 years. But beyond that, Larry Dossey, a medical doctor, wrote a wonderful book called Reinventing Medicine,
mm-hmm.
where he cites double-blind studies on prayer, where people in the hospital, half are being prayed for, half aren't. They don't even know that. And the half that are have better outcomes on everything. They're less days in the hospital, less complications, less medicine, go home sooner, come back less often, recover faster, etc. Now, that's old stuff. There's been a lot of those for a long time. In a wonderful new book called How God Changes Your Brain by Andrew Newberg, and he's a neurosurgeon.
Okay.
And they did a study, several neurosurgeons together, to determine what is the healthiest and most harmful thing for the human brain. They're neurologists, so that's their deal, the brain, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they did this multi-year study to find out what is the best thing and worst thing for the brain and nervous system. And the end of their study, they report their conclusions and put it in a best-selling book called How God Changes Your Brain. And what their research showed, this is not religion. This is not, I mean, they're not proposing go to church.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing brain research. And their conclusion is the number one most healing thing for the brain on earth is prayer and a belief in God.
Mm-hmm.
A distant second was exercise. Okay. So, and this is recent research where the ones about people being prayed for in hospitals was, you know, that's been done for decades. This is new stuff, cutting edge stuff. So I cannot underestimate the importance of just a simple, sincere prayer from your heart about whatever you're feeling about this situation at the time. Now, if you don't believe in prayer, just make a request of your heart, okay? And it'll work fine. I like prayer better. I think the results are better. Mm-hmm. But if you don't believe in prayer, do that.
Isn't that extraordinary? I remember studied psychology and coaching now almost 20 years. And I remember I had such a longing for my belief and my spirituality match with science and psychology.
Right.
And
right.
Now I'm experiencing it grows more and more together. And in some areas, it already touches. And I think
right.
this is just wonderful.
Well, it took me a long time, Anya, to recover from my religious upbringing, which was extremely harsh and legalistic.
Mm-hmm.
But the most important thing in my life is trying to live a spiritual life. And mm-hmm. I believe that meshes perfectly
yes.
with with psychology, with your relationships, with trying to be successful in life, everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do have a few miracles in my life, so I have no doubt.
That's right.
So prayers are just wonderful. Now, we also talked about those heart problems.
Yes.
Yeah? Where do heart problems come into play when we are talking about the healing code?
Well, I think they come into play all the time, and not just with the healing codes, but everything in life, even if you don't have a clue about it. And let me try to explain that. Mm-hmm. About 6 years into Hope's 12-year depression, I came across an ancient manuscript written by Solomon about 3,000 years ago that said this: guard your heart above everything else, for from it flows all the issues of life. And as soon as I read that, something hit me like, ah, this is what I've been looking for. Mm-hmm. And it was a turning point in my search for something to help Hope. But what's the heart? And is there a way to fix it? Okay. I went to three scholars in the language that Solomon spoke independently. They didn't know each other. And I asked each of them, okay, this thing right here that Solomon's saying, the heart, with what he said and the way he said it in that language, would that include depression? Would that include cancer? Would that include heart disease? Would that include relationships? All three of them came back to me separately and said it would include any problem you can name. Mm-hmm. Solomon is saying, any problem you can have in your life comes from here. Well, when I started studying psychology and they were talking about the unconscious and the subconscious and stuff like that, I had another bell go off. What psychology is calling the unconscious and subconscious, not completely, but to a great extent, it's got to be what Solomon was calling the heart. And so is there a way to fix that? Okay. And then, so I started searching for that. All right. And I believe that's the only thing the healing codes do is they find these heart issues of anger, unforgiveness, low self-worth, etc., and they change the energy frequency. And when you change the energy frequency, it changes the feelings, it changes the thoughts, it changes everything, okay? So I started looking for what's the heart and is there a way to change it? And then a few years ago, man, I got the mother load of help on that. Mm-hmm. When Southwestern University Medical School and Medical Center in Dallas, Texas, released a major study they'd been doing that was headline news all over the world. And the study was to find the bottom line, least common denominator source of illness and disease. Physical illness and disease, cancer, etc. And the reason they were doing that is because in the history of Western medicine, the number one most common answer to how did I get cancer, how did I get heart disease, how did I get, is we don't know. From the medical doctor who just diagnosed you. Well, doc, how come I got this and my identical twin didn't?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. All right. So they were doing this study to find out what is it? Where does it come from? And after years of research, they released the findings and declared to the world, we have found the source of illness and disease. They were interviewing Dr. Eric Nessler, a medical doctor from Harvard, who was head of the department at Southwestern. And Dr. Nessler says, we are naming the source cellular memories.
Mm-hmm.
If you're watching this, just delete the word cellular. It's your memories. if you've got memories with anger, unforgiveness, etc. I'm not good enough. Other people are better than me. I'm not good looking enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm not something enough. Those memories resonate out a frequency constantly, 24/7, even when you're asleep, to the hypothalamus in your brain. And when the hypothalamus gets that fear-based signal, it pulls the fire alarm.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that fire alarm is pulled, after enough time goes by, each person breaks at their weakest link. For Hope, that was depression. For me, it was acid reflux. For Dr. Ben, who was the co-author of The Healing Code, it was Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS. Mm-hmm. But it comes from your memories that basically have lies and errors in them about you and the world.
That's really interesting. So it does have to do with stress. So if I understood you correctly, I have a concept which I call the circle concept. And in the circle concept, I explain that we have a paradigm, and in the paradigm are all our memories, our opinions, our belief system. Yes?
Right.
And through that paradigm, I draw my thoughts, because either it gets triggered inside or I get something from the outside through my senses. It triggers a thought, and that thought, just like you said, releases energy, and that energy I feel in form of emotions.
That's right.
These emotions draw me into acting. Yeah, emotion,
right.
Energy, emotion. So I respond, maybe inappropriately, because something triggers my anger because
right.
of some person. And then I get a specific result. Maybe that person rejects me, or somebody else rejects me because I got angry. And then,
or you reject yourself.
Yes, or that.
Yeah.
And then I verify information in my paradigm. Maybe that I'm not liked. Maybe I'm not lovable. Maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I feel shame. I feel rejected, like an experience I had as a small child with my parents. And those are all kind of those heartaches, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. You describe it perfectly. And here's the proof of that. Sometimes I'll explain something similar and people will doubt that. And I'll say, okay, think about this. Two people are in rush hour traffic in Munich or wherever. They're side by side. I mean, one car here. They're in the same location. They're in the same traffic at the same time in the same situation. One of them is going into road rage. You can, you know, they're gripping the steering wheel tight because they're angry. You can see the veins popping on their neck and their face is getting red and they're yelling at people who are holding them up or not going when the light changes or whatever. I mean, they're miserable and angry or something, you know. The person right next to them is calm, peaceful, singing along with music.
Yeah.
I mean, it can't be the external circumstances, because they're in the exact same external circumstances.
Yes, exactly.
It has to be the internal circumstances, and it is. But here's the thing that never ceases to amaze me, Anya. The person going into road rage will never, ever say, oh, I bet this is something that happened about 200 years ago with one of my ancestors that was passed down from person to person, and now something about this traffic is reactivating it with me, but it really has nothing to do with the traffic. It has to do with my ancestor 200, Nobody ever says that.
No.
They think 100% of the time the problem is the other drivers, the problem is the people who program the lights, the problem is something external in their circumstances. Mm-hmm. And Anya, they are wrong 100% of the time. So they're constantly trying to fix things in their life that are not the problem. And so they end up at 80 years old, 90 years old, and they look back on their life with regret, mm-hmm. thinking, I missed it. My life could have been so much better, so much fuller, so much happier, so much more successful. I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the saddest things to me. Working with people for over 30 years, that is one of the saddest things for me. Mm-hmm. Is people at the end of their life who are now out of time, who realize, I missed it.
Mm-hmm.
I missed my best life.
Yes, well, that's very unfortunate.
And that's my mission. Is uh-huh. I want people to have their best life rather than at the end of their life, imagine what that might have been. I want them to be at the end of their life smiling on uh-huh. that rocking chair, thinking, wow, what a great life.
Alex, I am so with you. I have two funny stories. With one of my clients, I did an emotional release. And she was someone who was very, very angry at people in traffic. Yeah, she could curse and yeah. And we released those emotions and
yeah.
the healing code. And I've asked her 2 weeks later if there were any stressful, bad people on the road or if she got angry again. And she said, no, I couldn't test it. I said, why didn't you drive? She said, no, but there weren't any crazy drivers on the street.
And you know what? I'm sure she believed that.
Yes.
The circumstances change. Yes. Nobody's driving crazy anymore. It's a yes. miracle.
Yes, exactly. And another client of mine, he didn't feel comfortable meditating. He wanted to have something to do. I said, well, do the healing code. Because I have some things in my coaching practice that makes it easier to follow with an MP3 they can listen to and then they do the healing code. So he agreed to do that. And then I asked him a few weeks later, so how are you doing with the healing code? He said, well, I do it every day, almost every day, just about every day. I said, this is great. So what are you experiencing? He said, I don't know. I haven't had to make any bad decisions lately, or I didn't have any such stressful situations in my life recently. And I did start to make a few good, profound decisions, what I wanted to do with my life. So he said, I don't know. I said, well, maybe the healing code has something to do with it. Yeah. So he was thinking about that, and he came to the conclusion that must have been the case, because
you know,
it's not a coincidence, yeah, that just when he started the healing code, he also started to change his thinking, he changed his form of decision making, etc.
Anya, I bet I've heard a similar story 5,000 times.
I believe it.
And it's an amazing phenomenon. I studied for about a year and a half one-on-one under Dr. Roger Callahan, who was the founder of energy psychology worldwide, a genius clinical psychologist in California. And he called that the apex problem. And the apex problem is this. When you've had some issue, like we just talked about, and all of a sudden it's gone, there is something in your brain and nervous system that really makes you almost forget you ever had it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. I think it's part of our survival defense mechanisms. But that it's incredible to me how that happens. So I always tell people, write down your 0 to 10 ratings before and after, because if you don't, you'll forget how much that was bothering you.
Yes.
And that's been my solution. And even then, sometimes people have to, was that really a 9 out of 10 for me? Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I guess it was. Mm-hmm. But I guess that's a good thing, I guess, that they're not remembering the intensity of mm-hmm. that thing. But yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah. So I learned before something becomes a physical illness, let's say cancer or some other things, it shows in emotions. That means you do feel negative emotions, but you don't take care of those emotions. Yeah, you kind of press them aside, and then physical illnesses start. Migraines start, depression, yeah, cancer, other organic problems. Why do you think people wait so long? What is it? Why don't people? You know,
I don't necessarily think they do. Mm-hmm. When Hope got depressed, we have this huge bookcase thing in our house, and that thing is stuffed with psychology, self-help, depression, anxiety books. Okay. And we've had so many people on you come into our house, and you know, they know I've got 2 doctorates, and they'll see all those books and say, wow, Alex, you have read a lot of books. And you know, I tell them, honestly, I've read 2 of those. Hope read all of the others, trying not to be depressed anymore. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I can remember Anya, she would get so angry. And I would say, Hope, what's wrong? And she would say, she'd be reading a book, and she'd say, this guy's an idiot. And I'd say, well, why in the world do you say that? That's a best-selling book. I don't think he's an idiot. And she said, well, he's telling me think happy thoughts instead of sad thoughts. And she would say, doesn't he think I've tried that? I mean, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. And that's the point to me, Anya, is that the unconscious mind literally protects these memories that have negative feelings and emotions in them from being healed. It's part of our survival mechanism. It's an early warning defense system against it happening again. And so there are very few things that will heal those things. I mean, the healing codes aren't the only one. There's some other great ones. The emotion code, Dr. Bradley Nelson. Brad is a close friend of mine. Mm-hmm. Wonderful man, terrific work, and there's others too. But there aren't a lot of things that can heal those things. So I think a lot of people are like Hope. They try for a period of time, but then they come to the conclusion nothing works. Mm-hmm. I can't change them. And that's when they go into sort of coping mode, mm-hmm. where they just yell or scream, or they go eat a half gallon of ice cream or whatever. They're just trying to deal with the pain because they don't believe there's any way to get rid of the pain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is so sad. So you believe that we inherit information from our ancestors that create and dictate what we experience in life.
I do. Now, I got that from ancient manuscripts, mm-hmm. where it talks about those negative things being passed down from generation to generation. And Anya, I taught that for about 15 years, mm-hmm. where my peers were constantly ridiculing me for teaching that because they said, we have no empirical evidence at all that that is the case. Lloyd is out to lunch here. This is not right. It's wrong. Well, about 6 or 8 years ago, here comes headline news. Memories, especially trauma memories, are passed down in the sperm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Anya, they're going to find they're passed down in the egg, too. They just haven't done those studies. And then a real head spinner came out about 2 months ago. I've got the study right here about a foot away from me from Tel Aviv University. And the researchers there, and this was headline news, too, have found literally that your brain and nervous system, after you're dead, can transmit memories, especially trauma memories, that affect the physiology of future generations. And in the article, they say this is the holy grail of this entire neurological field, and that is that when you're dead, you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to do anything else after you're dead. But for the first time in history, this disproves that.
Mm-hmm.
That what you do in your life now, whether you heal your stuff or not, can absolutely affect in a powerful way your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and their quality of life, and it can even affect the physiology of their body and how they will deal with difficult circumstances in their life. So today, this is not supposition anymore. We've got the proof that if you heal you, you're also benefiting future generations in your ancestry. If you don't heal you, you're hurting future generations in your ancestry.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I love my children more than I love me. So, you know, I want to heal me for their good, even more than my own. So, yeah.
Do you think that that information also transfers to the collective or just to your family and the people?
Well, I certainly wouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
In 1935, Albert Einstein did one of the most famous experiments in history. It was called the Einstein-Podolsky-Rosen experiment. They named it action at a distance, and today it's commonly known in the field as spooky action at a distance. And what they found is that among two people who maybe even hardly know each other, information is passed between those two people that affects the physiology of both. And it can be positive or it can be negative, okay? So absolutely, I believe it can affect other than your ancestry. Because if I go to the grocery store and you're in the grocery store and we're side by side in the checkout line and we talk for 3 minutes, I can affect your physiology in a negative or positive way, and you can mine.
Mm-hmm.
And not just then. I mean, months later, we can still be affecting each other, all right? So absolutely, yeah, it goes beyond just your family.
Mm-hmm. So what you're telling me actually is, you know, sometimes we have the idea of, you know, the desire to heal the world, and we reach out into scenarios we have no real influence, whether or not the forest is burning in South America, or whether or not there are starving children in India. It actually comes down to doing something what I can actually have an impact with, and that is, if I understand you correctly, to heal my heart.
That's right.
In order to send signals that are of a healing quality. So, yeah, and in that way, I can have an impact on healing the world. And if many people do this, I believe that we would be able to do that, heal the world.
Yeah, And there's another aspect to that too. You're absolutely right. But if let's say that my heart is very negative, and you have not healed all your heart stuff yet, well, I can hurt you. Being around me can hurt you. Mm-hmm. But let's say that I've got a really negative heart, but you have healed your heart junk. I can't hurt you now. You're invulnerable to that now. Mm-hmm. Okay. But you can have a positive effect on me. Okay. So yeah, there's even more incentive to heal your own heart and start having a positive impact on everybody you come in contact with, and kind of give yourself a vaccination for negative stuff coming at you.
Mm-hmm. That's really good news. And sometimes people may not realize what kind of heart problems they have until they do that test you have on your internet site.
Right. Yeah, it took me 16 years to develop that, because to do what I wanted to do, it had to diagnose unconscious issues. So yeah, it's completely free. It'll give you a 10 to 15 page individual interpretation printout of your strength, of your strengths and weaknesses. Build on the strengths, fix the weaknesses. So yeah, I always encourage people to take that. There are psychologists, medical doctors, ministers, teachers all over the world that tell me they use that with every single student, every single client, every single patient, in order to determine the non-physical issues they have while they're maybe working on the physical issues.
I thought about a terminology just now. If I do that test and I realize I have several heart problems I did not think about, because I really haven't had it in my mind, if I do the test and I do the healing code with the results I have, I actually do something like a heart mind heart memory hyogen, right? Because it doesn't really hurt yet, it doesn't really impact my life yet, but yet it is there.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
So people who are not so sure about whether or not they have significant problems because they're not that sick yet should do the test, and then should do preventive healing code.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And the test you're talking about takes about 10 minutes to take. I have a brand new one that takes 60 seconds to take that's called X Factor. And all of your issues in life, any issue you can ever have, boils down to four foundational issues. And in 60 seconds, it'll tell you what your biggest foundational issue is and what your biggest foundational strength is. So I would do that one too. Mm-hmm. It only takes 60 seconds, but the other one will give you lots of detailed information that goes beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they're both free.
So over the time, with the healing code, you've done studies, research, you studied stress resilience, heart intelligence, you've been with scientists, etc., and working so close together, and also learning about all the new research, you came up with some new stuff. So is it what you are going to bring to Germany in November in our workshop?
That's right. Yeah, and I'm very, very excited about it. Two things that are new that we're going to be doing in Germany. One is called Trilogy, and the other one is called Memory Engineering. Now, I understand in Europe it's going to be called Inner Healing. Mm-hmm. But very briefly, Trilogy, the origination of that is I was doing a workshop, and at the end of the workshop, a 20-year-old lovely young lady came up to talk to me. And she said, Dr. Lloyd, I'm new to this energy stuff, but I'm open to it. But I've got a question. And I said, okay, what's your question? And she said, well, I Googled energy psychology, and I don't remember the exact number she said, but she said there were like 3 million different sites that came up for energy psychology and how to fix it. She said, I Googled energy medicine, and it was like 12 million sites that came up on what it is and a way you can fix it. Now, there was overlap in those, but anyway, she said, where do I start? I could do a different one every day, and I haven't even tried them by the end of my life, and I'm 20 years old. And she said, the second thing is, even if I find one that works well for me, how can I ever know that another one might work much better? And Anya, I'd never heard that before, at least the way she put it. And so that night after the workshop, I went back to my hotel room and Googled, and sure enough, she was right. And I thought, you know what? I wouldn't know where to start either. So I started working and wondering and playing around. Is there any way, is it possible even, to kind of combine the essence of everything into one short, concise thing? And for about a year and a half, I didn't think it was possible. And I was testing it with medical tests, different things, different combinations, stuff like that. And at about 3 years, I finally hit on the right things in the right combination. And then I spent another 3 years testing it. And just in the last year, it'll be a year next month, released it for the first time, and it's called Trilogy. And it combines, Trilogy is not the one best thing in the world. It's all of the best things in the history of the world into one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the medical testing I did indicated a 98% effectiveness, which I've never seen with anything else in the world. In fact, the healing codes with the same test were about 87%, which was the most I'd seen until Trilogy. But 98 is just crazy. That's just ridiculous. And that's one new thing. The other new thing I call memory engineering. And according to my publisher, which is a top 5 New York publisher in the world, Hachette, this will be the first published process in the history of the world on memory engineering.
Mm-hmm.
This is the holy grail of psychology, being able to go into a memory that's causing problems and literally rewrite the memory. The best way I can describe it, it's almost like you have a time machine and you get into this time machine, go back to an event in your life that is still causing you problems today, and literally change what happened in the event. Now, that makes it sound like you're changing it to something that's not the truth. That is not the case. You're actually changing it to what is the truth. You've been believing a lie about it. Mm-hmm. Now, you may not understand how, but you have. Every single time, you're believing a lie about it, if it's causing you problems still. Well, memory engineering is a 10-minute process to re-engineer any memory that's causing you problems. And I am so excited about it. It took me about 30 years to figure out how to do it correctly. In psychology, it's been 100 years. But there were 3 keys to that, Anya, that made it possible. One is you have to shift the energy of your heart just a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more positive until this program you have in you called psychological adaptation can grab that and make it okay automatically.
Mm-hmm.
If a thing has been causing you problems long term, it's because psychological adaptation is overwhelmed. That memory is too negative, and it's more than psychological adaptation can handle.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. The second thing is you have to have a mutually beneficial, kind, active relationship with your unconscious mind or heart. The reason for that is your unconscious is a million times more powerful than your conscious intention. So your conscious intention is to no longer feel anxiety or no longer feel anger or no longer, well, that's like Tracy getting angry reading the book and saying, does this guy not think I've tried that? Mm-hmm. I mean, your unconscious, you're going to lose that battle every time. So the only way to win it is to enter into a mutually beneficial relationship with your unconscious or heart, and then your unconscious will allow it to change.
Mm-hmm.
And so there were three real keys that I've never seen anyone else solve that were the keys to making it work in ways that it's never worked before. The last one is you have to create a new memory that becomes the default for that category. In other words, if my impression of marriage is bad because I've had failed marriages and when I think about them, they're painful, I have to create a new default memory in relationship with my unconscious that is no longer negative about that. That's, yeah, I had the failed relationship, but that doesn't mean the next one can't be fabulous. Now, we will say those things mentally, but our unconscious isn't buying it.
Mm-hmm.
It's saying, nope, not going to work, okay? So you have to create a new default memory, and those were the three keys, along with some other things. And so in November, when I get to come there and meet you wonderful mm-hmm. people, we're going to be doing both of those, the 98% effective, which includes the healing code, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It just includes a lot of other stuff, too. And then memory engineering is not a code process at all. It has nothing to do with this or tapping or anything mm-hmm. else. It's completely different. And I'll be teaching you both in November.
I think that's great. I know that we'll have a wonderful workshop. I will teach the people the foundations of stress and the circle concept and why they get ill, why they get stuck, and why they can't change. And then you show how you can make it really, really easy to change, to re-engineer your mind and actually start living a real powerful life.
Anya, I can't wait.
I can't wait either. I am so thrilled. So thrilled. Alex, thank you very, very much for your time. Thank you for all that information and that you let us in a little bit more into your life, into the healing code and all the new things that you found out that you are coming out with now with new books, new workshops, online trainings, and with our workshop on the 2nd and 3rd of November this year at Kloster Sion near Munich. Ken?
It's been my pleasure. I've had a blast. I don't know if anybody else will enjoy seeing me talk about it, but I've had a lot of fun, so thank you.
I thank you. We'll do it again.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bless you, Alan.
Can't wait to see you, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Wenn dir dieser Podcast gefallen hat, dann freue ich mich über ein Like von dir. Und wenn du es mit Leuten teilst, mit Freunden, Bekannten, ja, um diese Podcasts weiter zu verbreiten. Wenn du Interesse an meiner Arbeit hast, dann lade ich dich ein auf meiner Homepage
www.anja-maria-stieber.de. Wir hören uns. Tschüss.